Sometimes I feel that I could fight an army with just me and you, and there's no one could harm me. Oh, but sometimes I can feel a little shy. It's then I need to know that you are there. That's why I'm singing, be with me, Lord.
When I'm down,
be with me, Lord.
When I'm lonely,
be with me,
need you only. Be with me, be with me,
be with me, Lord.
When I'm down,
me, and
when I'm lonely,
be with me, Lord.
Lord, I need you
be
only.
With me, be my only God.
I know you said that I would not be tested more than I could bear, and that you have my best in mind with everything that ever comes my way. I know you're in control, so hear me as I pray. I'm singing,
be with me, Lord.
When I'm down and when I'm lonely, when I'm scared, when I'm scared and when I'm lonely,
be with me,
need you only.
Be with me, be my only God.
Oh, now help me, Lord, to share what I've been given. Help me make a difference with the life I'm living. As I show my neighbor where true treasure's stored, help me know you promised to be with me, Lord. I'm singing, be with me, Lord. When I'm down,
be with me, Lord.
When I'm lonely,
be with me, Lord.
When I'm scared,
be with me, be with me, be with me, Lord.
When I'm mad,
be with me, Lord.
When I'm lonely, and Lord, I need you, I need you, I need you.
Be with me, Lord.
Hey.
Be with me, Lord.
Oh. Yeah. Sometimes I feel that I could fight an army with just me and you, and there's no one could harm me. Or feel a little shy. It's then I need to know that you are there. That's why when I'm down and when I'm lonely, Lord, I need you, I need you. Yeah. I know, say, that you will not be tested more than I could bear, and that you have my best in mind with everything that ever comes my way. I know you're in control, so hear me as I pray. Oh, be with me, Lord. Be with me, be with me, be with me, Lord. Be with me, Lord. Be with me, Lord. Be with me. Be my only God. Amen. Everybody can be seated.
Amen. Great to be here. So, today we're going to do part three. Part three, we're going to finish up where we started in the series on Let's Go, because I'm looking forward to picking up where my next series at. This is going to transition right into it. So let's go over a few things we talked about in the last couple weeks. Talking about moving forward, let's go, not being stuck in life, not being stuck not only spiritually, but just not being stuck, period. We got to have that spirit of moving. And we looked at how God even encouraged us to move, to not be still, but to move forward. Too many times our people in the society get stuck and then do nothing. And they're afraid of making mistakes, afraid of everything around them, so they just get stuck. But as Christians and as people who want to learn about God, we got to always keep it moving. We can't let obstacles, challenges, things that come out of nowhere trip us up and then we don't get up. We can't fall down and then stay down. You know, easily Destiny could have stayed home today. You wake up and your mom car is gone. You could stay home. You go, oh, my God, this is just not meant to be. Well, who do you think wants you to believe it's not meant to be? It's not God. You know, I don't get into talking about many movies. But that movie called The Shack, it does gives example of obstacles that had somebody stuck, that they'd had no chance to make it. It took God to intervene and introduce himself. And then he didn't believe that was God. But that's how we do. When things go wrong, we're not only mad at people, but we're mad at God. We must not allow circumstances and situations to rob us of our faith and our love for God. Because there will always be circumstances and situations until the day you die. There will always be challenges before you. The question is, how do you deal with that challenge? What do you do? Do you allow that challenge to mold you into the person you should not be? Or does it mold you into who you're supposed to be? I shared with you, man, easily 20-something years ago. My wife and I went through a whole year, and we got ready to do our taxes at the end of the year. We realized we only made $9,000 that whole year combined. When we did, I just started laughing. My wife looked at me, what are you laughing about? I said, honey, if I realized I was only making $9,000, I'd probably die. I'd have a heart attack. How did we make it? But we wasn't focusing on it the whole year. I remember the challenges, but every challenge came before us, we kept moving. Every time there's an obstacle, we climbed over it. We did not allow that circumstance to dictate who we are. We didn't start become hatred and full of hatred and jealous of those who had it. I ain't had time to be jealous of you. I'm trying to make it. We didn't allow those things to impact our lives in a negative way. But too many times we do that. We get jealous of those who have things. We get upset because we don't know why we always struggling. And so some people that I know personally who even used to go here just get up and quit. And they blame everything around them. Everybody got it but me. Well, peekaboo, look in the mirror. Why do you think you don't have it? When you get tested, how do you respond? Why it got to be everybody else's fault? Why can't it just be a test to let God mold your heart? We fail the test too many times. But we got to decide as a brotherhood, as a sisterhood, that when challenges come, we don't quit, throw the towel in and fall down and don't get up. We get up, shake the dust off our feet and our legs and go, what's next? And allow each challenge to take us higher. And allow each challenge to draw us closer to God. When we started a couple weeks ago on this, we looked at John 5. The invalid who was paralyzed for 38 years. 38 years in John 5. And when Jesus met him, he told Jesus this, man, I've been here 38 years. Nobody helps me into the pool. I'm trying to make it. I just don't understand. And what did Jesus tell him? Man, will you pick up that mat, get up and walk? Yeah. Yeah, that was the first question to ask him. Because sometimes the question is, do you really want to get well? Some people dwell on their circumstance that is so bad. And they dwell on, I'm going to stay like this. And, you know, I just need, you know, I can't do it unless you do it for me. And the more you do for them, the worse they become. So I like how Jesus' first question was to him, before we go any further, do you even want to get well? Say, do you want to change? Do you want to be different? Because if you don't want to be different, you will not change. And see, too many times people have circumstances they don't want to change. It's easy. For some people, it's easier to beg than go get a job. It's easier to stand on the corner and ask for money than go get a job. And so we can't just look down on the poor. See, even us who are not on the street, we act that way too. We still want people to do things for us. Some people, it's easier to not like somebody than to like somebody. Because if you don't like them, you ain't got to put up with them. I mean, I ain't got to talk to you. I move on my life. I ain't got time for you. Some people can go through life not have no friends, don't talk to anybody. See, because if you have friendship, it takes work. Just like in a marriage, I've been married 29 years coming up here. Listen, your preaching ain't always been perfect. Just ask my wife. She ain't been perfect either, by the way. We're in this together. Hey, just want to make sure that's clear. And surely my children have not been perfect. That my daughter said, not at all. They kept me on my knees. I stay on my knees. You want to see the cross on them? I stay bowed down before the God. Lotion can't even help me at times. You take my word, brother. Lotion. You can rub all day long and it doesn't matter. It's still crusty. Because I stay on my knees. What about you? Because sometimes the only way we can make it is through prayer. They got to stay prayed up for me. They got to stay on their knees for their daddy. We got to stay on our knees for one another. So do we want to get well? Do we want to change? That's the question. And so if the answer is yes, and so the unbeliever is not, yeah, of course he want to change. So Jesus said, well, then get up, pick up your mat and walk. Don't say you want to change and then you do nothing. Get up and move. So there's a lot of areas we need to change. Are you tired of living immorality? Tired of being deceitful? Tired of your lies and living a life that you shouldn't be living? See, the question is, do you want to change? You can't keep coming to church saying, I'm tired of it. You do nothing. See, if you're tired of it, then you say, I'm going to change it. We're not here to hate one another. We're here to love each other. But love speaks the truth to one another. We got to get out of this, you know, I know, man, I ain't finna say nothing to you, but I know what they're doing wrong, but ain't none of my business. I ain't saying nothing. Okay, wait till you meet God. You're in trouble. Because God said we're supposed to speak the truth and love to one another. He ain't said we're supposed to cut each other down and point the finger. You ain't no good. No, he ain't say that. Because then you got to put a plank out your own eye. See the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye. But he does say speak the truth to one another in love. And people, you know, as a people, we don't like to turn on the lights, do we? Especially we don't like to turn on the lights in our hearts. Because when you turn that light on, guess what happens? The cockroaches start running. Them cockroaches, boy, I get tired of them. Man, they be running. They like the light to stay off. So it can infiltrate your heart and make it ugly. We don't want ugly hearts. Are you with me? Then we look at Zacchaeus in week one. Remember, and that's Luke 19. And Zacchaeus had done a lot of wrong. And Jesus went up to him and looked up in the tree. What did Jesus tell him? And where did he must go that day? I'm going to your house, Zac. Get on down here. But what did the people say when they saw Jesus tell him to come down, I'm going to your house? He's accepted sinners. Before we go any further, is there any sinners in this room here? Yeah, everyone, if you don't raise your hand, you're lying. Y'all all should have been, throw your feet up too. All of them should have been, everything should have been up. What's wrong with y'all? No, good and well, every one of us are sinners. I can't imagine Jesus like, did they just say I'm going to the house of a sinner? Well, didn't I eat at your house yesterday? Think about Jesus, man. If you got to read the words, it'll blow your mind. I bet Jesus was thinking, did all these people just say that? And you. I was at all y'all house this week. Who do you think you are? We're all sinners. But we must repent. And we must give people the opportunity to repent. And that's what he did. So in part two, we went to Mark chapter 1, 14 to 20. And Jesus, after telling Zacchaeus, let's go, I'm going to your house, Jesus walked down the Sea of Galilee. And he ran into some fishermen. And what did he tell the fishermen? Come follow me. Oh, somebody's been paying attention for the last 2 weeks. Come follow me. He said, come, let's go. What are you doing? Oh, you're fishing. Really? Drop the nets and let's go. Come follow me so I can teach you how to fish for people. There's more important things than that fish. And I must teach you. Let's go. And so we all got to have that heart that's willing to be taught how to fish for God's people. You know, and then we also talked about it a little bit at the closing. That when you fish, Jesus says, come, let's go, follow me. You throw that bait out there. What's supposed to be on the other end of that pole? Jesus. See, it shouldn't be our personality. It should be the suit or a little tie, bow tie you got on or a little clip in your pocket. It's supposed to be Jesus. See, it's not how you look that converts people. It's not how smooth you are, how good of a talker you are. It's simply the word of God. It's the gospel. The problem is, in our society, churches are full with thousands. In fact, when I preached in Dallas, when we met at Texas Stadium, it was 10,000 people there. Thousands. But only a few lived the life. I learned something that day. And I learned, even watching TV and seeing all these thousands of people go, you want to impact people, but are you really impacting people? What are you teaching them? Why are people so attracted to you? What are they attracted to? See, because they're supposed to be attracted to Jesus. They're supposed to be coming to hear God's word. And that taught me a lot through my life, that I must always put God out there in front of me. And when you do that, not all respond. Then I got to be a minister that not take things personally when people don't respond to the gospel. Because people will not respond if they live in immorality. They always don't want to respond. They want to respond at their own time. Or they believe that, you know, homosexual, it's nothing wrong being a lesbian or a homosexual. Really? Well, let me show what God says about that. Well, I don't want to read that. Oh, now the Bible is the golden corral. You go and you pick and choose what you want. Don't want them green beans, but give me that steak. And you can have those little funny green round things. What do they call, Nita? Not okra, not peas, Brussels sprouts. Them little nasty. You can have those things. Give me that fried chicken. You see, we start treating the Bible like it's the golden corral. You pick and choose what you like and what you don't like. We must not be that way. We got to make sure that we're living by God's word no matter what. Amen. Are you with me, church? Because, and when we put the bait out there to try to help people, we got to show them Jesus and not ourselves. Because not everybody going to respond to Jesus, but that's their choice. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18. I haven't got to part 3 yet now. We're still in part 2. Hold on. We're going to get to part 3. But I want to show you something. What we talked about last week. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1. In verse 18, it says, the message of the cross, I love this, is foolishness to those who are perishing. But to us who have been saved, it is the power of God. So when you fish and got Jesus on the hook and they're not open, guess what the message is to them? It's foolish. They laughing at you. See, I remember when I first became a Christian and my friends said, you gonna become a Christian? What? Man, you like girls too much. I ain't worrying about that. But why would you say that to a young man who's trying to do what's right? I remember one of my friends who was getting married, and we hooked up, and she wanted to hook up. I said, but aren't you getting married in about 7 days? Yeah, but he having his last fling. I want to have a last fling too. And I had stole my sister's car and drove all the way to Miami. Talking about having a last fling. And it hit me like, what am I doing? Am I crazy? First of all, I got to go back and answer my mama. So I do want to stay here as long as I can. She can't get a hold of me. Don't know where I'm at. But I got to go home sometime. But then you want me to be here with you until I'm having a fling. Lord Jesus, I need Jesus. I remember saying, you know what? I'm done. I'm going back home. I'm going to sleep on the couch. And I went to the couch. She laughed and says, you won't make it. I know who you are. And I know what you're about. You love this world. She didn't use the world, she used women. You love women. And you ain't going nowhere. Man, I felt that big. Because how can you respond to that when I don't stole the car and drive 6 hours to see her? Well, I don't love no women. She could have said, well, then why are you here? I felt that big. I said, well, you know, where's your couch? What can you say? Where's my couch? Yeah, I'm going to the couch. Go sleep on the couch. I can't even sleep. I'm restless. I get up at 3 a.m. in the morning. Go back. She's still up. Like, I walk in the door like, I knew you was going to come back. I'm just here to say bye. Where are you going at 3 a.m. in the morning? Back to Gainesville. I'm becoming a Christian. Really? Yes. I got back in my car, drove all the way back to Gainesville, called up Dr. Marty Wooten, and he even played me too. I wish he was here so I can get on it. I called and said, hey, Marty, this is Mark, man. I'm going to study. I want to become a Christian, study Bible. He told me, yeah, but is this Mark Harris? I said, Marty, why are you playing? Yeah, this Mark Harris, H-A-R-R-I-S, the short bow-legged one. Me, that's me. Well, let me just ask one more question. You live in Spring Country? Yes. Mark, I've known you. How long now? 9 years. I just want to make sure you've been coming to church forever. I just want to make sure you who you say you are. Well, I'm coming to your house then. You will know where you at. I showed up. We opened the Bible. And I never looked back. Never looked back. See, we all have stories. I understood what the power of a cross meant. The goal of Jesus' message and the power of the cross, it changed lives. It shines on darkness. It delivers us from evil and from hell. The power of the cross, the message of Jesus Christ, is the only way to go. Part 3. Let's get started. Title of my message simply is today, let's go. You got to accept this message. There is no other way and no other hope for us besides Jesus Christ. Turn with me to Acts chapter 4. Read it, verse 8. Let me show you something. In Acts chapter 4 and verse 8. I was 21, then now I'm 54. I'm a proud 54. If the Lord want to take me home today, I'm content. I'm happy. Sometimes I'd be thinking, Mark, you better be careful saying that. Lord just might take you home. I'd be like, okay, take a brother home. I'm really content and happy. I'm telling you, it's been a long haul, but I wouldn't change for nothing else in the world. It's been incredible. I can't imagine people not surrendering their lives over to Jesus. I can't even understand that because no matter what you're going through, there's others going through more. We don't have special cases, special situations. You just don't want to know. You don't know what I've gone through. People have gone through a whole lot more. When I was a young man and got to visit Africa, I saw more than I can imagine. I saw people who drink out the same water they urinate in, living in huts, have nothing. I saw my wife take off her shoes when they told us don't because we could get diseases to give them away because in her conscience, she couldn't walk away from a bunch of children, thousands of them who had nothing. And yet those same people were full of joy, smiling in their situation and circumstance. The only way of life they had was to beg. There was no jobs, no nothing else for them to do. They named a whole city after these poor people. They had their own city that once you go there, that's who they think, that's where you're going to die. No running water, no buildings. And yet these children would sing songs that would bring tears to your eyes. You wonder where you get this joy from. When they worship with everything they had. I thought we worship in America until I went to Africa, saw them worship. Man, when they worship, man, their whole body would be sweat going down. And they're singing to God. And every song they dance off of. A song of dancing of joy. We dance off. Hey, listen, they do that every song. Every song means something to them. They don't look at their circumstance as if they're doomed. They keep it moving. One ball, 20 kids playing with one little tiny ball. And they wait their turn. Their teenagers that's sitting around on cell phones to my girl, what you doing? They don't have what we have, and yet they're full of joy. Their circumstance does not rob them of joy, yet we allow our circumstance to rob us of joy too easily. We live paycheck to paycheck because that's what we choose to do. No one told you to go create all them bills. We create them and then we complain about it. Unbelievable. We've got to stop the whining and complaining and let's go. There's bigger things for God want to use us for instead of all these little things behind us we're crying about. We got to stop it. Look at Acts chapter 4, verse 8. This is Peter and John before the Sanhedrin. And they've done, healed some people, done some things, and talking. The Sanhedrin is mad at them. So they brought them before the Sanhedrin to have a talk with them, the courts. Then Peter filled with the Holy Spirit. So we go in front of the court. We're scared. We're shaking our boots. Peter ain't shaking. He filled with the Holy Spirit. Said to them, rulers and elders of the people, if we are being called to account today for an act of kindness shown to a man who was lame and are being asked how he was healed. They healed somebody and they couldn't believe it. Then know this, you and all the people of Israel, it is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead, that this man stands before you today healed. Jesus is the stone you builders rejected, which has become the cornerstone. Well, we just sung a song called Cornerstone, didn't we? And look at verse 12. Chapter 4, verse 12. This is what it says here. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved. So salvation is found in no one else. So if salvation is found in no one else, what are you supposed to be fishing with? Who? Oh, I don't supposed to fish my personality? I don't supposed to fish how cool I am? Oh, y'all don't think I'm cool? Okay, my bad. My wife think I'm cool. That's all that matters. Thank you, babe. So I don't supposed to fish that? I simply supposed to fish Jesus. I don't supposed to fish that. I've known Dan. I've known Veronica longer. Dan known his own wife. That I've been married 29 years. I got kids. I don't supposed to fish that. That my children have grown up on me. That I don't supposed to fish that. That I'm no longer where John and his five kids are. Because he got five. Like, they ain't nobody bigger than this like him. Mine way up there, John. So I can't fish that? All right, shorties. Y'all better be glad I gave you some extra inches. Bring it to my dad. You went too far. I'm down here. I'm trying to help your sister. So I can't fish that? See, the Bible says salvation is found in nowhere else. We only supposed to fish Jesus. And that's it. We got to gain these convictions and not be afraid of what God has called us to do. We got to pick up our mat and walk. The time is now for us to do what? Let's go. Pick up the mat. I'm telling you, Destiny, God is just starting with you. And Satan is just starting with you too. You got a mm-hmm corner, echo corner, by the way. I wanted to let you know that. Mm-hmm. Wow. Pray that. Because they don't go on through it. See? See, when you don't go on through it, you can moan. you can moan. When you go on through it, you can moan. I'm telling you. When you've done things and seen what God's done, you can moan. It moves you. You got to get ready because he's coming. He cheats and he doesn't play fair. He knows all the weaknesses you have, so he's going to always tempt you in your weaknesses. And as soon as you strengthen one weakness, he goes to another one. You see, as a Christian, you can never relax and think, I ain't got nothing to worry about. Because that's when Satan sneaks in your back door. See, as a Christian, we got to, what the Bible says, stay alert. And sober mind. Wow. Got to stay alert with a sober mind. You got to know God. Satan's going to always be wanting to attack. We're going to relax when we get to heaven. We look up and we're walking through that door. That's when we're going to party. My God, my God. Because things are going to happen. You think Rora planned on being blind? You thought he was planning on having one leg? That's my plan. God, I don't want to see. I just want to be blind in one leg. That's what I want to do in my life. No, that's never his plan. But then when things happen, then he can't go, well, man, I might as well throw the towel in. I quit. I can't believe God let this happen to me. Now, all you got to do is sit down with Roy. You realize that ain't the way he thinks. That's not your brother. Do you thought he married a woman? Do y'all know, have y'all seen their wedding pictures? He didn't know. He had no idea his wife was going to be in a wheelchair. I'm telling you, they inspire me. One in the wheelchair, the other got one leg and can't see, but yet he calls your name all the time. I can call him on the phone. Hey, Mark. Okay, what's going on here? I just barely said hello. Brother, you be making me wonder now. I just want to tell you. You make me wonder. You walk in the door, I give a hug. He puts on, oh, who is this? This is Mark. I even seen Deborah try to trick him. Deborah, that's you. Yet he's full of joy, full of zeal. You go to his house, he want to feed you. He don't even like for you walk in his door. I mean, brother, let me get you something to eat. But how you going to get me something to eat, brother? It's already, I know where he'll go right through his house. He'll take you right where you need to go. Go sit at the table with you. I just be sitting there, Father, might be, God, you are just humbling me. This guy be blowing my mind. He told me, I got Rochelle. Yeah, but she in a wheelchair going right to the kitchen. Cooking everything for the kitchen, getting up, getting right back in the wheelchair, go back to the living room. I'm like, you got to be kidding me. And do it joyfully. Brother said, listen to me. Do it joyfully. When I say, Rochelle, can I help you? Not really, but if you need to do something, grab the salt and pepper. If you just have to do something. Good Lord. It just lifts my spirit. How can I stay down when my brothers and sisters go through so much and they keep going? God has given us an example around us. How can we wallow in our sins and pity party? When God says, look what I have done with them. And you think I can't do it with you? And you got eyes and two legs. We've got to gain these convictions to say, God, okay, you are the fisherman. Teach me to fish. Let's go. Salvation is found in no one else. We must use the gospel of Jesus Christ to catch God's souls. We got to believe that the gospel will not come back void. We got to stop relying on things that does not fish for God's people. And totally rely on Jesus. You want to heal your marriage? His name is Jesus. You want to do better as a single? His name is Jesus. You want your life and your character to change? His name is Jesus. You want to grow as a person? His name is Jesus. You want yourself to be better than what you are? His name is Jesus. It's no other name. There's no other name. You want to raise these children, these teenagers we got in this world? My God, this is a challenging world we live in. And technology is not helping us. And you want to raise these children in this technology evil world? You better have Jesus. You better have Jesus because they will drive you to your knees and your knees will look worse than mine. I'm telling you. But I'd rather your knees look worse than mine than your children don't make it. Get on your knees. And ask God to remove the demon of disrespect, the demon of laziness, the demon of deceit, lying, cheating, stealing. You got to ask God to remove that demon. And don't let Satan give me a demon to close my eyes like nothing's going on around me. That's the worst demon of all. Because then you're going to look up and it's going to be too late. They play you like a sucker, but you allow them to do that to you. I'm telling you. You want to keep moving, you better stop. Don't let them use you up and take from you and you do nothing about their wrongs. Some of you be spared a rod too much. I told my mama one time, I spanked my son. My mama said, what's wrong with you? I said, mama, look here. You ain't spit a rod on me. Why am I going to spit a rod on him? Don't be trying that. Mm-mm. When I did wrong, you made me feel it. So when he do wrong, he going to feel it. I'm going to give him everything I got. I give him all my love and all my power that the Lord God has given me. And he didn't invent that two steps. They thought they invent country singing two steps for the two step of country singing. No, they invent that to help you spank. I used to go, yeah, like one, two, pow! Get back, son, don't you ever do that again. You're like, dad, I mean, one time I two-stepped that rascal, you know what he told me? I said, I left him, I let him leave him alone. That's my boy. I said, okay, I tighten up his little bottom. I was feeling bad. I go downstairs to my wife. I said, honey, I wore him out this time. She said, honey, you need to go back and pray with him. I said, yeah, I need to go back and pray. But that rascal, he did something at school, and I told him not to do it. I tore his butt up. I said, let me go back up here and pray. So I go back up with Vanita. We get up that joke up there laughing. Tell her, that ain't hurt. Jesus. God, give me strength to switch to my left hand. The power from on high. Turn over, boy. I'm switching. One, two, pow. Not hurting, daddy. I ain't done. We're going to go for a minute. But we worked through it. See, we can laugh about it, but see, some of you, you can't remember last time. You don't discipline your children. Where's my son at 24 sitting at today? Being a Christian, loving God with all his heart, mind, soul, and strength. I'd be open about it. I'd be laughing about it. I'm trying to be open with you. We had to go through our trials. But where is that? Where is he? Where's my daughter? I don't tell him to sit by me. I can't get rid of them rascals. They ain't going to sit by you. Hey, Byron, y'all can sit by them sometime. Man, I don't tell them to do that. You know? They good. Let me encourage them, Carol. I got my Florida buddy sitting next to you. You ain't know that, did you? Yeah. But where, see, what, they, you know, it's so encouraging. We had our family time the other day. Just yesterday. What day we had? What day? Was it yesterday? Or Thursday? What's today? Sunday, right? Saturday, Friday. It was Friday. Friday. So yesterday I was at the home thing with Rosalind and them. So it was Friday. And we just out there laughing. Do you know we looked up, a couple hours went by. Just laughing, having dinner together. Growing. Talking about spending time together. Spring break. You know, we go to the car, you know. I go in the parking lot. My son gave me a hard time. Dad, you just park here because this is where I park at. All right, son, when did they put your name on a parking lot? My son loved to bother me, by the way, guys. Y'all need to pray for me. He be bothering me sometimes. I'm like, when did he put your name on Mama Foo's parking lot? Said, this is your parking space. It's just a parking space. But he wants me to believe I like to do what he like to do. That's okay. That's why I'm working out Monday, Wednesday, and Friday with him this week. He don't realize he's training me. I ain't going to tell him what he's training me for. I tell you later. That's a whole nother thing, but train me, bro. We get together 6 o'clock, right? Monday, Wednesday, Friday, right? He don't know what's up, but me and God knows what's up. But now we get together in the morning, in dinner, in lunch. We got to spend time with our children. You have to spend time with your kids. You're going to have to go, and you got to go after it. And sometimes the kids don't want to be with you. That's okay. They'll learn how to be with you. Because how is they going to learn how to stay faithful or even become a Christian? And what about when they go through their trials? How would they want to even get up and move forward? Because if they see you quit, they're going to want to quit. That you're not motivated, why should they be motivated? God has given them to you. College students, I know school ain't what it always want to be. It's supposed to be. But don't you quit. It ain't always fun. Yeah, man, it's challenging. But you got to stay in it. Keep God at the forefront. Don't get it and forget about God and you don't read your Bible, you don't pray, but you're going to school every day, you're studying every day, but you don't even read your Bible every day. You can't let that happen to you because then it's going to destroy your character when it comes spiritually. And you'll grow and then God will never be important to you. You'll just be going through formality. a format. Don't fall into that trap. That's Satan trap. Marriage. Don't allow your marriage between you and your spouse become mundane. Like, man, you're just doing it to be doing it because, hey, man, I can't afford to get a divorce. Just going through it. One of my friends out of Dallas broke my heart. Him and his wife don't take no vacation together. They don't even live. They don't even sleep in the same room. They get because kids and finances. You got to be kidding me, dude. But people think that's okay. No, it's not. Whatever going on in your marriage, you got to fight to make it work. It takes work to make a marriage work. Man, it's not easy. You leave your dirty socks around the floor. You leave the dishes in the sink. It ain't easy. You come home and who turn is to cook today? Well, I worked all day. I worked all day too. Well, you got to work through that. You work together. If Vinny's in the kitchen and I come home or she beat me home, she's cooking, I just go sit in the kitchen with her. I don't go watch ESPN and go to sleep and pretend she don't exist. We're both tired. You got to think about what you can do together. My buddy out of Texas teased me yesterday. My wife wanted to do something different this weekend. What's that show you took me to call? Home and Patio Show. So I'm on my way at Home Patio Show, damn, minding my own business. I get on the phone with Bruce Fambro. Yeah, Bruce, when you listen to it on the internet, I'm talking about you. This is on the internet. So Bruce says, where you going, brother? I say, I'm going to the Home Patio Show. He says, so what you going to be doing? What Vinny going to have you doing next? Knitting? You going to be knitting? He said, what are you doing? Now, he was just giving me a hard time. But, brother, he gave me a hard time. He just poured it on. So I let him, I said, look here, if my wife want me to knit, I'm going to get to knitting. So don't be hating on a brother. Don't hate on a brother. I'm going to get to knitting. Yeah. Don't be hating because, hey, I love my woman. You want to knit? Let's knit. And I'm going to master that mama, too. Mine going to look just as good as yours. Pow! What you think? That's what it's got to be about. That's what makes us family. That's what builds that love. Man, Vinny was walking around so proud with her husband with her. We saw so many women, but I'm walking right beside her. Everywhere she's going, everywhere we're going. And she's looking at cleaning stuff, how to clean the bathroom, how to clean the toilet. Lord have mercy, how to clean the toilet. Okay, baby, this is cool. I like it too. Let's get some of this. Going around looking at things and everything about a house, and she's just loving it. But just loving it. We're holding hands, and I'm walking around holding hands. I'm loving it too. I'm just feeling good, but that's what we got to do with each other, amen? Marriage, you go the extra mile, go some and more. Don't let Satan rob you of your marriage. Figure out each other's love language. Do what the other want to do and do it well. Get up and let's go. Say, honey, wherever you want to go, let's go. And vice versa. If you're doing that to each other, you're going to hit a home run. You'll hit a home run. Learn to love with one another love. Sometimes my wife drives me crazy with that. Honey, where you want to eat today? Wherever you want to eat. Well, I think I want you to choose today. I want you to choose today. I love what you love today. Okay, baby. Okay, we're going to eat. Let's go over here. And the next time I said, honey, where you want to eat? Remember, I chose last time. I know, babe. I got you this time. We can go over here and eat this time. But we talk through everything. Are you with me? We got to stop giving Satan so much power over our marriages. I want to read some stuff here to you. Listen to this. Because we've got to get some things straight in our lives. Because Jesus is coming back. He's the salvation, right? But do you know he's coming back? And when he's come back, what is he going to find in us? What is he going to find? Look at Matthew chapter 13, verse 47. I want to read a couple of things. Let's read a little bit. Look at Matthew, because it's very important that we understand God, what God expects out of us. And one thing God expects out of us is we must not be ashamed of him. No, I want to go to Matthew 27 yet. Matthew 13, verse 47. Matthew chapter 13, verse 47. Because Jesus is coming back. Listen to what he says here. You there? You with me? Once again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net that was let down into the lake and caught all kinds of fish. We're talking about fish, right? So the kingdom of heaven, this is a parable of the net. It's let down in the lake and it catch all kinds of fish. See, we got blacks here, whites, Hispanics, Panama, Jamaica. We got them all right. Look at this, look at this, look at this swarm of people. Did I miss a country? Did I miss somewhere? We got Africa here today. He's out of town. He's now in Melbourne. But when he's here, I got somebody from Africa. We got it from all over, right? We even got Duval in the house. Because Duval think they their own country. But that's okay. So we got Duval. We got Jacksonville. We got Magic. We got all here, right? So let's we got the west side. Okay. So let's keep reading. Say, once again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net that was let down into the lake and caught all kinds of fish. When it was full, the fishermen put it up on the shore. Then they sat down and collected a good fish in the basket, but threw the bad away. This is how it would be at the end of the age. The angels would come and separate the wicked from the righteous and throw them into the blazing furnace where there'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. So we will be separated. We will. God will come, and it's like he will collect. And the question is, where do we stand? Are we wicked or are we good? Because God's going to separate the wickedness. We're going to be separated. Those who are not living for God will be moved out. So we got to make sure that when we live as Christians, we've been who we say we are. Because that day is coming. Look at Matthew 25, verse 31. Look at Matthew 25, verse 31. When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, he will sit on his glorious throne and all the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate the people one from the other as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on the right and the goats on the left. My question is, are we sheep or are we goat? Who are we? Because he's going to come and he's going to separate them. The sheep on what side? The left? Where's the goat going? To the right. So what side are we on? Who are we? As a congregation, as a church, as individual, who are we? It's very important that we identify ourselves. See, because if we get stuck in the mud, we're going to be the goat. If we get stuck in our past, and we go back to our past, we're the goats. If we don't let God continue to move us forward, we're the goats. And you're studying the Bible and you're refusing to move forward spiritually, you're on the wrong side. We cannot let God go through all this for us and we don't accept him. God sent his one and only son and told us, hope and salvation is through my son. Do you have him? We've got to really gain some convictions about even talking about God. Having conviction about who he is. Look at Romans chapter 1. Because in Romans, we're going to look at Romans and Luke here. You're going to see that it's very important that we must not be ashamed of Jesus. Romans chapter 1, verse 16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel. Can we say that? For I'm not ashamed of the gospel. Well, who's the gospel? Jesus Christ. For I'm not ashamed of God, because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes. First to the Jews, then to the Gentiles. For in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith from first to last, just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith. We must not be ashamed of the gospel. We must not be ashamed of God. We're in this. The only way that we will not be ashamed of God, we got to deny ourselves from it. Because we all get scared. Anybody ever been scared of anything? Yeah. We've all been scared of something. But we must not allow ourselves to be afraid to be identified as a Christian. And must not allow ourselves to be afraid to talk to others about Jesus. We got to be willing to say, you know what? No, I'm in this. Let's go. I'm not going to be ashamed of this. I'm not going to be afraid. I'm not going to. Jesus has done too much for me to be a coward. Each one of us can tell the story of what Jesus, have Jesus save your life. No matter how hard it's been for you, each one of us got a story to tell. We must not be afraid, ashamed of that story that you have to tell. I'm going to close with a couple scriptures here. Look at Luke 9:23. And then I want to read a poem. Luke 9:23. Look what it says here. In Luke 9:23 it says, "Then he said to them all, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up the cross daily and follow me." So even to be a disciple, you got to deny yourself. You know, he's telling you, don't give in to yourself, your sinful nature. And you got to take up the cross. I love that he says you got to take up the cross. How often? You sure didn't say once a year? Or every now and then? Oh, I know, only on Christmas. Yeah, Christmas and Easter. No, he says every day. And see, to do that every day, you got to pick up your mat. You got to move. You can't just chill out. This is for real. He says, pick up your mat daily. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it. But whoever loses their life for me will save it. What good is for someone to gain the whole world and yet lose or forfeit their very self? And here's the key. Whoever's ashamed of me and my words, the Son of Man will be ashamed of them when he comes in his glory and the glory of the Father and the holy angels. We must not be ashamed of Jesus. We must not be embarrassed to say we're Christian. We must not be ashamed about loving others and trying to do what's right. We got to start standing up for what's right. When everybody around you doing wrong, you don't have to laugh at no bad joke that's nasty and wrong. It's also, okay, I don't do that. When people persecute you, hey, you know, when people say bad, mean things about you, well, hey, welcome to the club. Peekaboo. It happens. But we must not allow that to make our hearts become hard and be cynical and not like people and not want to have anything to do with people. We got to make sure we don't allow our hearts to get hard, brothers and sisters, that we don't want to reach out to people anymore. And this is very important for people who say they're Christians. You must not allow yourself to be able to say you're a Christian, but people do you wrong and you wish bad on them. I know who's going to get you. I ain't worried about you. Well, I'm glad you're going to hell. My God going to take care of you. And people legitimately have done you wrong. But God says that's what we got to love them even more. Forgive them quickly. Just like if you go see that movie, you'll see a guy had to really forgive a tough situation. But we got, all of us got tough situations to forgive. There's things happened to me in my childhood that I had to let go. Family members. Friends did things to me that just was just not right. Had a father who never claimed me. Not one time in my life did he ever say that he was my father. He took it to his grave, yet everybody around, my mom and everybody, my mother even spoke to him, said, "Now, you know what, we need to let this go. You need to go ahead and let him know. Be a father." He chose not to. I wasn't bitter about that. Did it hurt? Of course. But I wasn't bitter. I went to his funeral. His family accept me now that he's dead. But they wouldn't accept me when he was alive. Dan and Veronica went with me. And my wife, of course. I could have been bitter about that. But I chose not to because I love God. I forgive him. And I'm not sitting back. Boy, I sure he ain't going to make it. He never wouldn't even claim me. No, I that's up to God what happens, what he does with him. But I know in my heart, I was okay because I loved him no matter what. And I got a chance to love my son. I claim my son. There's been time I ain't want to claim it, but I do claim my son. That's a whole nother message, whole nother time. But I claim my son. I love him with all my heart. And even the times I ain't want to claim, I had to repent and go, okay, he's mine. Boy, you got to change. But I love my family. And we are not perfect. We got a lot to grow in. But I don't disown them. If I'm not going to disown my family, why would I disown Jesus? We got to, as Christians, do not disown the Lord. As Christians, we got to stop allowing things around us to control our joy. We got to stop allowing circumstance situations to get us stuck and not move forward. The title of my message next week is simply, I am not ashamed. I am not ashamed. We got to stop being ashamed of who we are. We are Christians, men and women of God, children that belong to God. And our power comes from humility and love, gentleness, and kindness. and our faith in Jesus Christ. This is who we are. I want to close with this poem. And then we got a song. They're going to sing, "We Believe." We're going to stand and sing this song. But before we do that, I want you to listen to this. Just listen. I want you to close your Bibles and listen. It's called Moving, and let's go. Moving forward. Do not remember the former things, neither consider the things of old. Behold, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive and know it? And will you not give heed to it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the deserts. Isaiah 43, verse 18 and 19. God does not want us to be backward looking, going through life looking in the rearview mirror. But we are so often can't help ourselves. We remember the hurts of the past and the mistakes we made. It's time now to look ahead and focus on what's before us. God wants to do a new thing in our lives. Let's go. He wants us to rise up to our full potential in Him. He has called us to do mighty things. He will even make a way when we feel lost and refresh us when we're burning in the heat. We have to go. We have got to keep on moving forward. It's only in moving forward that we ever accomplish what God has called us to do. We can't stay where we were at, nor can we go backwards. The only direction we can go is forward. So let's go. Yes, it can be hard, but it's the only way if we want to move on in God and grow. So let's go. Move forward in Christ. Don't be afraid to keep moving on, for what was before now has gone, and God wants to accomplish so much more. But we need to move forward in the Lord and stop looking backwards. Let's go. Let's get rid of all fears, doubts, hesitations, lack of trust in the Lord. Let's get rid of our sins. Stop acting like we know things we don't know. Let's go. God is only perfect and awesome and powerful, not us. If we can only remember what our God has done for us, we will keep it moving. So let's go. In Galatians 5:22, it talks about all the fruits of the Spirit that we must have. Peace, joy, love, kindness. There's so many things our God wants to give us, but we got to stop looking backwards and move forward. Let's go. Trust in the Lord and do good. Keep in step with the Spirit and not with Satan. So let's go. Let God move us forward. Trust in Him and not in ourselves. Let's go. And to God be the glory. Amen. 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 Let's stand. Hold hands. And I'm going to have a closing prayer from this message. And then a closing song and then closing announcements. Amen.
Let's bow our heads in prayer. Amen. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time that we can come here and we can hear your message, Father. We thank you for using Mark, allowing the Holy Spirit to hear what we need to hear, Father. I pray that we just not listen to this message, but we will act on this message, Father. Let us not get stuck. Let us not let not forgiving someone keep us stuck, Father. Let us learn to love one another, Father. Let us learn to love what the other person loves so we can continue. It's not only just for marriages, Father, but it's for family. Let us build family here. Learn to love what that other person next to you loves, Father, so we can be able to help each other and loving one another. So I thank you for this time. Father, pray that we could continue. Just let's go. Yeah. We done heard everything we need to hear, Father. We done heard how to live a God-first life, Father. We done heard how to live a lordship of Jesus. There's nothing else for us to do but to go at this time, Father. So thank you. I pray that we are inspired. I pray that we would just not let this message just lay there, but I pray that we will share this message with our friends, our neighbors, our co-workers, our schoolmates, anybody who we come in contact with on a daily basis. So we thank you for this time. We love you and we thank you. We pray all this in your Son, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. In this time,